Good morning. Today we are looking at Psalm 126. This psalm is an ancient travel song that was sung by pilgrims, by crowds of people of hundreds or maybe thousands as they journeyed towards Jerusalem for one of the festivals. And this psalm is part of a collection of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent that we find in the book of Psalms between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134. So this is song number 7 in the Songs of Ascent. So before we get any further, why don't we read Psalm 126 together? When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Psalm 126, this seventh song of ascent, would have been sung as the pilgrims travelled to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three major festivals. That would be the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The people would assemble together outside of their town before they set off on the journey. And before they went off, they would take time to ritually purify themselves, to prepare their heart and minds for the journey. And then, under the direction of a pilgrim director, a kind of leader of the pack, they would set off on their journey towards Jerusalem. This pilgrimage could take anything from a few days or as much as a week or more. There was one city called Dan, which is in the northern part of the country, and it was over 150 miles from Jerusalem. So those that travelled from the area of Dan would have had to travel for at least 7 to 10 days to get there. So it took a great deal of commitment in those days to attend one of these festivals. So along the way, this pilgrim director would encourage everyone to sing. He was effectively their worship leader. And he would have with him prepared a number of songs for them to sing along the journey, possibly including some new songs, just as we would do in church today. Now, there were a lot of great reasons why they wanted to sing. By singing, they would come together as a group. They would form community. And just like we do in church on a Sunday, when we sing together, something happens that is unexplainable. There's a unity, a coming together, a kind of common cause that we feel as being part of one thing, as one body together. Singing would also enable them to take their minds off the walking. And by walking to the rhythm of the music, they would actually walk with less effort. And singing was also a great way to get their hearts, minds and souls ready to worship and praise God before they got to Jerusalem. And since most of the songs that they sang were steeped in scripture, then the singing was a great way for them to remember the great stories of faith and to learn some new scripture as well. And singing also allowed them to understand their pilgrimage to Jerusalem was a special time. It was to be a special time to be with the Lord. And they expected this journey and their destination to be a life-changing time in all of their lives. These pilgrimage trips to Jerusalem were supposed to be out of the ordinary times, out of the ordinary moments. It was a time for these Jewish families to get away from their normal routines. It was a time to prepare their hearts and their souls to be drawn closer to God. It was a time to move away from ordinary, everyday life to the more sacred and holy time in God's presence. And this is the same thing that is supposed to happen each and every Sunday morning in our churches. Our trips here to this place, to this house of worship, are to be different than, say, our trips to the supermarket or a trip to the park or going to a concert or some other event. Our coming here has been purposely designed by God to be out of the ordinary. God has designed our times with Him to be set apart, to be holy, and to be sacred. Each week, we are to come out of the ordinary pace of human life and come here to gather as the church and focus on our relationship with God, and also to consider our relationship with ourselves, with others, and the world that we live in. As we come here each Sunday, we are to come with our hearts, minds, and souls prepared to experience a unique time with God and with the body of Christ. We are to experience something that we cannot experience anywhere else. We are called by God to spend quality time in His presence, and to spend quality time in His presence with our fellow followers of Jesus. This is a time when we will experience more and more of what it means to be restored in the image of Him. So, what is it that makes all this happen? What can we do to make sure that something special does happen each and every Sunday in our lives and in our church? I believe that it happens as together we lift up the name of Jesus in praise and worship. It happens as we surrender ourselves to God's will and to the leading of His Holy Spirit. It happens as we take the focus off ourselves and our everyday lives and focus on God. Focus on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It happens when we arrive ready. Ready to be saturated in prayer. Ready to praise and ready to be obedient to God's word. When we don't come prepared to do these things, and when we don't allow these things to happen, then the whole time is likely to become a disappointment and possibly pretty boring. When we don't arrive right, then we are more likely to leave as empty as we came in. We come with nothing and we leave with nothing. And by the way, when you leave church unfulfilled, it is never God's fault. So Psalm 126 is a song that can help us as we gather to worship on Sunday mornings. And just as it helped those long ago get ready for worship and praise, it can help us as well. So Psalm 126 is a song. It's a song that is constructed in three arrangements, or three movements, or three sections. The first section is it's a song that calls us to reflect and praise God, remembering the joy of our salvation. The second part is a song that challenges us to praise God in the moment, in the here and now. And this enables our experience of joy to be in the present, no matter what our circumstances are. And thirdly, it's a song that shows us how to experience true joy, the joy that comes when we are bearing fruit for Him. This is a psalm that reminds us that God has done great things for us. It reminds us that God is doing great things for us, and it reminds us that God will do great things for us. So God has done great things for us. In the first two verses of this psalm, the song is asking the people to reflect back on all the great things that God has done in their lives and in the lives of their people. The song encouraged the people to look back and thank God for all the things that he had already done for them. The first two verses say this: "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." As the people would sing verses 1 and 2, they were to reflect back on all the major times that the Lord had acted in mankind's favour. They would reflect on the creation, the saving power and saving grace of God through Noah and the flood, the call of Abraham as the father of their nation, of Moses and the Exodus, of God's giving to them of the covenant, of the Ten Commandments, of the promised land. And they were to reflect back on the victories of King David, and on the times of peace and prosperity that their nation shared under King Solomon. And they were to remember how God built both the tabernacle and later the temple just so he could be with his people. They could look back now and know that the God they worshipped was active in their lives. He was not a God who remained in heaven or a God who would not get involved in their lives. The Lord Yahweh was more than an idol, more than a construction of metal, wood or stone. Yahweh was an active and loving God. Listen again to the words of verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. They were not being delusional in their singing as they travelled to Jerusalem. It wasn't as if they didn't know their own history. As you read any psalm or all of the psalms, you understand that God's people had a firm grasp of their history. They understood that not all of their days had been great days. They knew that they had been slaves in Egypt. They knew that they had suffered greatly. But they also knew that their people had been led by the Lord to the promised land. They knew that under God's protection, they had become a powerful kingdom. And they also knew that because of their sins, the Lord had sent them into a time of exile. All of that was a part of their history. It was a part of who they were as a people. And through it all, the Lord had been with them. He had been with them in Egypt, in the promised land, and even in Babylon. And they were able to sing because they knew that God had protected them. He had forgiven them and he had delivered them time and time again. It is also important for us to look back in our history and reflect and praise God. Living for Jesus as a whole has had some great and not so great days. There has been some horrible things done in the name of Jesus. There have been some things that have caused the name of Jesus to be pulled through the mud because of individual and collective sin. And individual churches also have had some great days and some not so great days. Like Israel, we have seen great days in the church in this country when we have been fully obedient and we have seen lean days as a result of our disobedience. But we must praise God for all our great times and thank God for granting us grace during our lean times and repent over our disobedience. We must depend completely each and every day on the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Actually, it is a sign of great spiritual maturity when we can reflect back and praise God for the times we have done well and for the times we have not done well. It is a sign of great spiritual maturity when we can confess our shortcomings, our sins as individuals and as a people. The only way that we can experience revival is to be open and honest, confessing and growing in the Lord. It's good for us to sing songs of remembrance. These songs remind us of the greatness of God and remind us of how good God has been. We need to sing them with joy and with appreciation. We need to remind ourselves how God has been with us. Yes, God has done great things for us. And God is doing great things for us. In verse 3 of this song, the people are praising the Lord for what he is doing in the present days. Verse 3 says this, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." As vital and as important as it is to rejoice over the past, these pilgrims understood that they did not live in the past. They believed that they should praise God for present days. They believed that whether that present is pleasant, difficult, or nearly impossible, they were still to praise God. So, as they travelled, they would lift up songs praising the Lord, not only for what he had done in the past, but what he was doing in the present in their lives. For many that travelled to Jerusalem, it was a time of great prosperity and peace in their lives. They could sing to the top of their voices about the majesty and greatness of God. Life was good for them and for their families. It was easy for them to express gratitude to God. For others, though, it would be a different story. Their present days were maybe good, but not great, but still, they would praise God. And others still would find themselves in the midst of suffering, great suffering, but they chose to lift up their voices and rejoice and praise God. No doubt some would have recently lost a loved one, or had experienced a financial hardship, or had endured a great loss, but that would not keep them silent. They would praise God for today when it is hard, as much as they praised God for yesterday when it was better. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul shares the difficulties that he was experiencing at that time. He tells us that he was isolated from his friends. He was unable to do what he wanted to do. He lost a great deal of his individual privacy because he was chained 24/7 to one or more Roman soldiers. Can you imagine being chained to someone every hour of the day? Paul at that time had no privacy in his life at all. Everywhere he went, he had a soldier chained to his side. Yet, as you read about Paul's present circumstances at that time, you can imagine Paul singing a song like Psalm 126. Because Paul was not going to be defeated. He knew that when you praise God in the here and now, great things can happen. We all know that yesterday is gone. And it's good to sing about the good old days. You know, the older I get, the more I reminisce about my yesterdays. But the truth is, however, that all the great things and the bad things that happened years ago are now memories. You and I only have today. Yesterday is in the past, and we are not even promised a tomorrow, so we need to make the best of today. Today, we are called to worship and praise God. Today, we are to sing out songs of praise and adoration. But today, we do not live in an exclusively Christian nation. We live in a world that is not worshipping God or living a Jesus lifestyle. We could all get together each Sunday and have a pity party about the state of the world. We could moan and groan and cry out to God with despair and disgust. We could blame everything on him, but it would not help us in any way. What we should be doing is cry out to God to help our nation and our world. But in the midst of that sorrow, we need to praise him. We need to praise him today for the miracles, for the signs and wonders he's doing in our lives. We need to praise God for today, for it's in praising God that we will experience a joy that the world can never understand. It is praising God that opens up the windows of heaven. Today is the only day that we currently have. So let's spend it praising the name of Jesus. God is doing great things for us. And the great news is that God will continue to do great things for us. We see in verses 4 to 6 of the psalm a song that encourages us to look towards a bright future. It says this: "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." The psalmist is telling us to look for the future and to begin to plant the seeds for that bright future. The psalmist talks about those who sow in sorrow will reap with shouts of joy. Those who sow in sorrow will reap with shouts of joy. Those who weep in sorrow will in the end bring home a great harvest. I don't know much about gardening, and I know even less about farming. But what I do know is there is no harvest without the sowing of seed. There is no harvest without water being put on that seed. I love reading stories about William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. And under the direction of the General William Booth, the Salvation Army had hundreds of little rescue missions planted all over the world. It was his dream to reach the worst of humanity. He believed that that was the only way to transform society. He believed that if you could reach those who were enslaved by sin the most, then revival would happen. Through their salvation stories, he believed that the floodgates of revival would pour out. I once read a story that told of two of his officers who were in charge of a Salvation Army mission in a really difficult community. And they wrote to William Booth asking him permission to close their rescue mission. They'd been there for quite some time and nothing was happening. No one was coming to Jesus and they were facing persecution to such a degree it was just taking a great toll on them. So they believed that they would be better used putting their efforts into another location. They believed that the time was not right for this particular place to have a Salvation Army rescue mission. So they wrote this letter to General Booth, and General Booth received the message and he responded with great love and compassion. He, more than anyone, understood the harshness of the area and the difficulties that these two men had. Many times, Booth himself had come home after being spat on or attacked violently by a mob. He knew firsthand what these two men were going through, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. However, he also knew the power of God. He knew the power of prayer and of perseverance. So he sent back a two-worded telegraph to these two young men that read this. He just simply said, "Try tears." The two men received and understood the message. They understood that at times it takes more than just sowing the seed. It also takes the tears of sorrow. It takes the tears of prayer. It takes the tears of hard toil and work to get the seed growing. So these two men turned to praying like they had never prayed before. And in just a few weeks, lives all around the rescue mission were being transformed. People were being saved and homes were being rescued. The Lord took their tears of prayer, of intercession and of sorrow and caused the seed of the gospel to germinate and the harvest of people began to happen. Lives were changed because not only did they sow the seed, they saturated that seed with prayer, with intercessory prayer. Prayer that drove them to tears. It would appear from this story that General Booth knew the last verse of Psalm 26 very well, that says, "Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with them." We can invite all the people we want to church each and every week. But if we want to bring in a harvest of people into the kingdom of God, we have to add the tears of sorrow and intercession. We're in a spiritual battle, and that battle can only be won through prayer, praise, and proclamation. The tears that we shed from those who are far from God are vital if we are truly going to sow the seed of the Lord. Dry seed does not germinate. But seeds sown with love, the love that will move us to tears, will germinate and bear fruit. And just as it takes water for any garden to grow, it takes water, it takes the tears of the saints praying over the souls of others to receive a great harvest. We need both those who will sow the seed and those who will pray with broken hearts, asking God to bring forth a reign of revival. It is crucial that we understand that we will not see a revival, a harvest with a great program and lots of activities. It is that through prayer, through broken hearts praying for revival, that God sends great programs and leads great activities. We cannot put the cart before the horse. There has to be great times of prayer, prayers of repentance, prayers of revival and prayers of great intercession for there to be a great harvest. There is no other way. In Psalm 126, the people know that in the days to come, there is going to be great times at the upcoming festival. There will be events that will take place and there will be life-giving opportunities. For many, they will see the desert of their souls turned into paradise. And it will all come through praise, prayer and proclamation. God has done great things in the past. God is doing great things today. And God will do great things in the future. Today, as we close, I would love us to begin to pray in earnest for the lost. You have a past without Jesus, and you have a present with Jesus, and you have a future with Jesus. That in itself is worth thanking God for. But what about those who don't? What about those whose present is like your past, a present without Jesus? I would love us to commit to sowing the seeds that we need to invite the lost and the unchurched to Jesus. But let us also understand that it will be as a people on our knees crying out to God for revival that we will bring forth the harvest that God wants us to experience. And if that truly is your heart's mission, to see souls won to Jesus, to see people come to faith, to see miracles and signs and wonders, to see transformation of your community, the place you live, the town that we live in, the nation that we live in, then why not join us on our Zoom call today and come and pray for your family and friends that need Jesus? Why don't you come and pray for those in our community that need Jesus? I believe that God will do again in the future and today what he has done in the past. I don't want us to be living on past glories. I want us to live in the glory of today and the things that God is doing now and look forward to the glories of tomorrow. You know, God has not saved us to be passive. He has not saved us to sit back and hope that something's going to happen. His heart is for us to participate in what he is doing. That is what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. We look for God, we listen for God, and we take part in what he is doing. Why don't you join us when this part of our service closes in our Zoom call so we can pray for that. We can pray for each other. We can pray for our families and friends. We can pray for our streets, for our schools, for our workplaces, for our jobs. We can pray for a move of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen in our lifetimes. And ask God to break your heart for those who don't know him. Ask God to show you what he sees, to feel what he feels, and to dream what he dreams. Yeah, let's take a time, just a minute or two, just to wait in his presence. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Stir our hearts. Stir our passion. God, would you give us an emotional connection with your heart to feel what you feel for every person in this world? And let us not settle until we have sown every seed and used every tear to water those seeds in prayer and intercession and repentance. God, we worship you. We thank you for what you've done in the past. We thank you for what you're doing today. And we thank you and look forward for the hope that we have for tomorrow. You are worthy of all our praise. We give you glory, and we now give you our song of praise, to worship you and to glorify you.